Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to another episode of Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. I'm Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And today we have a special guest on episode 215, Trey with EPC.
We can say his last name, too.
Oh, you want to say his last name? Go ahead.
Trey sure. Andrews with EP Carrillo Cigar Company.
See, I don't like to necessarily give out the last names because then someone's going to creep on this guy and find him and hunt him down and be like, I love EPC.
No, they creep on us because we're us.
Yeah.
I've been called famous in some states.
Yep.
That's infamous, I think.
Infamous. Yes. Yeah, infamous. Infamous. Infamous.
Infamous. That's great.
So, we are doing something cool today. We're getting to smoke something that's not out yet. We're all excited about IPCPR show, and this is one of the ones that is coming out. And look at this beautiful, beautiful cigar.
Nice presentation.
Yep. What is this cigar, Trey?
That is the La Historia, which we just got number 2 cigar of the year for 2014. This is a new size that is, like you said, going to be released at the show. It's called the Regalias de Celia, and it is it's a semi-box press like the other ones in the line are. This one happens to be a little bit shorter, a little bit bigger around, and it's got a torpedo tip. So it's actually a 5 7/8 by 58 ring gauge.
Wow. All right.
And I don't know how or why the man is so good at what he does, but this actually tastes a little different than the other three sizes that we've already had out.
All okay, right. Cool. That's cool. Yeah. We'll and it does out. Not look like a 58. I love the box presses can be deceiving. You can when you get a box press on
we've
a cigar.
Been telling women that this is 6 inches for years.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. There's you were when you were saying the size of the thing. There were so many jokes coming out of my head that just I wanted to let you get.
Yeah,
through
but
it
some
before.
People get away with the 6 inch thing. I can't be getting away with that. we do a special for somebody a 6x66 box press, and you would never guess that was a 66.
No, oh, yeah.
You wouldn't think about
6x66. Is it called the Satan?
Satan?
Well, we wanted to call it the El Diablo, but AJ's very religious.
Religious, so that didn't happen. Yeah. Yeah, but this, I mean, presentation's great on this. I actually took a picture of it. I'm going to put it up on the video version so you get to see a nice picture of the cigar.
Just slide it off. You don't have to.
I tried. There it goes.
There you go. You got it now.
I had to loosen it first.
Man hands, Randy. Yeah. Man hands.
Yeah. I've lost so much weight. I have no hands.
He's handsless. How did you pick up a cigar?
90-pound weakling.
So, Trey, you were almost on the show once with Southern Draw, but now you're with EPC, and we're glad to have you on the show finally.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite.
Tell us a little bit about
you.
You
we were in a hurry to get you back on.
only 100 episodes. Yeah. So.
First of all, I'm going to use this cutter to cut my cigars.
I'm going to use your lighter to light
gonna
the cigar.
You're going
to
be selfish.
It's
right
a
there.
Very spicy. Spicy. It's a... It's got that hint of raisininess.
Words, Randy.
Raisiness.
So
wide open, of course. Wide open,
myself,
of course,
huh?
With a box press, man. This is wide open.
People like to hear things about the. You know, we tell a lot about ourselves on the show, and
yeah,
you know, it's always good to let people know a little bit about Trey and where his background is, and so they can get to know you a little bit. So when you walk into the shops. If the people have watched the podcast, they'll be like, "Oh, I know that guy was this and that." I don't want to say it because I want you to say it, but go ahead.
Well, we'll start from my cigar time. How about that?
Okay, we'll do that.
But, I actually been smoking cigars since 1995 when I first joined the military.
Okay.
And got pretty big into it. You know, it was probably my only way to cope and to relax when you're out there dealing with all the stuff that you have to deal with in the military world.
Yeah.
Got out. I was in the medical field. I was a Navy medic. Got out, started working in the medical field. And again, I was going to a cigar shop pretty regularly. And so much so that they needed extra help, and they asked me if I could come to work for them part time.
Mm-hmm.
You're here all the time, anyways. Might as well get paid for it.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I started doing that for a couple years, and a cigar company came along, Southern Draw, and they were looking for a rep. And the owners of Enfuego knew the owner of Southern Draw, put me in contact with them, interviewed, and he hired me the next day.
That's
nice. So I started doing that about 6 months or so, and. EP Carrillo looking for a Texas rep. They hadn't had one in the area for about a year.
Okay.
And they were looking for a rep. So they called me on the phone. My national sales manager from Chicago called me on the phone, talked to me a couple of times over, about a 4 or 5 hour period, and called me back with a job offer.
Nice.
Without ever even meeting me.
Nice.
And so I felt, hey, these guys really do want me. They gave me a great package and the opportunity to rep a cigar brand that I've been madly in love with for years anyways.
Yeah.
So it was it was perfect. I mean, it couldn't have been a better time, couldn't have been a better brand for me at that time, and mm-hmm. things have been going swimmingly ever since.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent, sir.
You know, we all three hit it lucky on that, because you were already a PDR fan.
Yeah.
I was already an AJ Fernandez fan, and you were already an AP Carrillo fan, so, I mean, we wound up landing in a good spot for
us. Well, and let's be honest, we're all a fan of making money, too, so that does that help a lot.
Well, that
helps.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But still. You know, but it also helps the... helps you sell if it's something
if
that
it's
you,
something
already
you believe
in.
Absolutely.
You already believe in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can rep a brand that you actually enjoy the cigars and you care about what they do, then it's going to make you better at what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, some people say that you can sell anything to anybody if you're a good salesman, but if you don't believe in your product, you're doing everybody a disservice, including yourself.
Well, yeah. I hear that. I always add one caveat to that. Yeah, you can sell ice to the Eskimos, but you can probably only sell it once if you're a good salesperson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly,
because if they don't like that ice, they're not buying it again.
Yeah. I personally believe that any trained monkey can sell somebody something once.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's not where your money or your job resides in. You need to be able to get the resell, and you need to have people like you as a person.
Yeah,
because you can have the best product in the world, and if you're a guy that people just can't stand, they'll just go right behind your back and call the company. And you'll never get any.
You'll never see it here.
You'll never see it.
Yeah.
I think I might need to get a monkey because they're damn cute, and that'd be kind of cool to go in with a monkey. It's like, oh, he's the guy with the monkey.
Agreed.
Everybody has to have their thing. Some people have cool socks. Some people have shirts that look like they're, you know, worn by women. And some people have
like a real monkey or like Marcel.
Oh, like Marcel, like the little.
Those are annoying.
Yeah,
those are annoying.
Those are cool. But yeah, I mean, we all three love.
Sleeps the night all the time.
Right. We all three love cigars. We're in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's been a wild ride. Has it ever? Have you hit that wall where it's not a big deal to meet these people now? Or are you still like really fascinated when you meet one of these great manufacturers that you finally get a chance to meet after all this time?
You know, we were down at the Lone Star Cigar Festival down in Houston, Sirius. And, you know, having Ernesto with us, he hardly ever comes into the Texas area. And he came down for that. And having him at our table, I mean, I would drove him around for like 5 days, and I just got goosebumps. It's like, I can't believe that this is going on. This is the man.
Yeah.
And all the owners and manufacturers that were at the festival, they kept coming over and shaking his hand and hugging him, you know, and they would introduce themselves to us, and I felt like a rock star.
Yeah.
I really did. And, you know, I've been smoking for a long time, and I've been a real big fan of this industry for such a long time. And I'm still having to pinch myself, man.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's weird. And it's like, you don't think about it. Like, oh, so-and-so is going to be there. And you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you go meet him. And you're like, hey. You just kind of get
like, I'm gonna play it
stupid
so cool,
a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I love you.
Nerds.
Exactly.
Nerds.
Yeah, he doesn't get that way. He's, you know, but I'm still that way. It's just a...
No, there are a few...
way cooler than us. So
no, it's just that it's well known on the show that I love cigars, and I love to... I mean, I like to know the makeup of it and that kind of stuff, but I don't read reviews. I don't do... You know, that's why we don't talk about cigars for an hour on this show. No, there were some people that, you know, I met Jose Blanco. That was cool as shit. I met Alejandro Cuenca up here at the store one time. He was awesome. Jesus Fuego was awesome. I mean, so I've been not intimidated, but I've been impressed by several people that I've met. I met Jonathan Drew.
George Rico.
Mm-hmm. Rico. You know, so, yeah, I've met some people that I thought were really cool.
The Ernesto Perez Carrillo?
No.
You were right across from him, too.
That's why you don't get it.
You were right across from him. But I hadn't met him before that. Right. No, I met him then. Yeah, he's cool. I didn't know what his name was. I just thought he was E.P. Carrillo. I
thought he was James Carville.
James Carville, yep.
Me a story about him getting confused for him at an airport. Some lady came up. She's like, oh, hey, I love you. Could you sign give me an autograph? And he's thinking that maybe she saw him in a trade magazine or something.
Yeah.
And then he signed Ernesto, and she goes, I thought you were James Carville. You know, coming from him, that he can make light of it, because so many people really do joke about it.
Right.
It's just like him.
Right. Yeah.
So now I've been impressed with the people I've met. It's just the thought of meeting, like if you'd said, hey, let's go meet Jesus Fuego, I'd be like, that's fine, cool, let's go. You know, I would have been like, oh no, man, what do I say?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I've been smoking your cigars for years. You get all kind of nerded out about it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still a kid sometimes with that. I mean, we went to Frightmare Fest. There was a couple times when I
had kids there.
Yeah,
because a buddy of mine did a movie that hasn't gotten distributed yet, but he did the screening for it last year at this Frightmare Festival that they do every year in Texas. It's like a Comic-Con kind of thing for horror films. And so we get media passes. We get to interview all these celebrities. And some of the celebrities are no big deal. It's like, yeah, what's going on, man? And we talk. But there are a couple. We each had a couple moments this past year where it's like, what do I say?
Yeah.
Remember the time? And
you turn into Chris Farley. Farley. Yeah. That was cool.
That was awesome,
you did that thing. It was awesome. Yeah, those moments, yeah.
Yeah.
But
did you meet the guy from Army of Darkness?
Oh, Bruce Campbell, I want to so bad.
That would be so awesome, especially if he showed up with a chainsaw in his arm.
Right,
did
right.
he actually show up to his booth? I never saw
No, him. He wasn't there. No, he wasn't there at this one.
Oh, he probably knew you were coming.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably.
Who was the guy? Michael Biehn didn't show up.
Yeah, Michael Biehn didn't show up. Yeah.
That's right, bastard.
That would have been kind of cool to meet Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Nerds.
Yeah. So what do you think so far? Tasty.
It's a tasty stick.
It doesn't suck.
Yummy. A little woodsy notes to it. It's got some woodsy gangs going on. A little bit of leather. Mm-hmm.
Tastes a bit nutty.
It's got something that I'm picking up something that I can't distinguish.
It's called awesomeness.
It's called sad awesome.
Where do you grow your awesomeness?
All over the world.
All over the world.
It's
actually one of
the
cool
world.
Things with Ernesto is he doesn't own his own fields, mm-hmm. But he can source any tobacco from anybody because of who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there are some cigar manufacturers out there that I know they're popular and they do a lot of business, but I've never been truly enamored by them because some of their stuff has just been very vanilla to me because it's got that same flavor all the way through everything they make. And that's because, you know, most of their stuff is estate grown.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to me, having a situation like this where the guy's a master blender, I mean, he's been making cigars longer than I've been alive. He can go out and get grade A tobacco from anybody, any field, any region, whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And so he can make very good cigars that will taste completely different than anything else in his line.
Yeah.
And it's fairly rare to me from what I've noticed smoking, you know, all the different cigars I've had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is certain people that they have the same tobaccos and a lot. They make a lot of cigars for other people and they all kind of have that same profile.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean they're bad. No, you know, absolutely. A lot of people like it. They like whatever you like and smoke what you smoke. But it just, you know, it definitely makes a difference.
Being that I've smoked for so long and I've been such a fan of the industry for so long and now being in the industry, I tend to judge my cigars a little differently than the novice cigar smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by novice, I don't mean, you know, guy that has been smoking for, you know, a week. You know, there's different levels. But the way I look at it is to me, handmade cigars are at least going to be smokable 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to judge the complexity, the burn, the ash, the draw. I mean, there's so much more that I put into my cigars whenever I'm kind of deciding if it's something that I'm going to put into my regular rotation or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't have those super senses where I don't get, like, the taste of, you know, marshmallow and all that. I just know if it's something that I like the flavor or dislike the flavor. Mm-hmm. But I judge my cigars by so much more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a cigar that I have to touch up all the time or I'm giving myself a headache because of the draw issues, chances are I won't. I mean, I'll give, you know, one or two of them a shot just because every once in a while you're going to have one that's plugged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I have two or three of them of the same cigar that does that, I'm not going to smoke it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, as a general rule, I tend to give a couple. I'll give it a couple tries. You know, like I said, I'll do something once, and if I don't like it, I'll give it a try a second time. Just especially if I'm smoking it with people that are like, oh, this is great. You know, it's like, well, what are they getting out of it that I'm not? I got to give it another try, and then if it still doesn't work for me, it's, you know, that's a palate thing.
I mean,
you know, beyond if it's burning bad or if it's bad, got a bad draw. You know, those things are going to change your mind regardless. But you know, flavor profile wise, you know, some things just aren't for everybody.
Yeah,
so
very true. Yeah, well, like I've said before, this is. The Churchill version of this, the E3, was the number 2 cigar of the year. And I've had people tell me that they don't like it at all.
Yeah.
You know, and some guys, you know, some other reps that we all know would look at them and say, oh, well, you're an idiot. You know, how could you not like that? It's so good. It got number 2 of the year. It got cigar of the year. How could you not like it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's not the, I mean, it's not for everybody,
Some people's palates just, they would much rather have something more mellow, you know, a lot milder, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's going to enjoy cigars, and that's why there are so many of them out there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, the, it's, what do you consider this? I consider it medium body so far.
Yeah, they try to say it's kind of a medium plus.
I consider it to be a medium.
I mean, I've had people that were Connecticut smokers that have tried, not this size, obviously, because this is brand new, but the line itself, they've tried it and been blown away by it.
Yeah.
Because it's still very smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very smooth,
But it's not overpowering. It's not going to knock you on your ass.
Yeah, it's a nice medium body. I like it.
Yeah, tasty. Flavor. Tasty. Yeah.
And I fell in love with the La Historia when I was with my last company.
Mm.
And I felt kind of like a traitor because
I
was falling in love with that cigar and smoking that one, even though I had these samples that I was trying to sell to other people.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
I think that's all of us, though. I mean, we all have. Yeah, I mean, I can only smoke my own brand only so much. You know, you smoke it 5 days a week. Right. On the weekends, you're going to want to smoke something different.
Absolutely. That's the only good thing about running into other reps on the road.
No, oh, swap out all the time.
Exactly.
No, I'm joking. No, I mean, I've been at other people's other reps events, and you know, they walk away from the table, they go to the bathroom. I've helped them out, and I've done the same. They've done the same to me.
You helped them out in the bathroom?
No, yeah, I mean, I helped them out at their table.
Weird,
you know?
Man. Pretty
that's
weird.
A good friend, yeah, right there.
It was a funny. This is funny. I have to tease Brandon about this because he has since corrected this little whatever. But we were at a joint event in Corpus. It was a PDR AJ event, and you know,
Commander down there.
Yeah.
He knows. He's a great guy.
He's awesome, man.
And he knows. You know, Brandon knows more about other people's cigars than I do. And so I had to go to the bathroom. I come back, and he's talking about the New World. And he's doing this. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. So then he gets to go to the bathroom. This guy comes up, and I felt bad. He comes up, and he says, what do you have that's kind of mild to medium? And I'm like, I think he said that one was. He wanted to buy it. You're like, I know more about your story. I'm like, you've only given me two. He says it's given me more than two. But I'm like, yeah. I didn't know.
Some people are true students of the game, sir.
Yeah.
I am a student of what I think people will like and what I like.
when I worked at Enfuego, I made it a point to smoke every single cigar in a humidor.
Yeah. Well, see, we didn't. I did. I can tell you anything that's in that Calypso humidor.
Oh, you don't carry PDR? Mm-hmm.
Well,
we do
didn't.
Now.
We did. Yeah. They do now. Absolutely. I'd never even heard of PDR, to be honest. I mean, I'd heard of Pinar del Rio,
right.
But I didn't know that was PDR. Mm-hmm. And we did at one time carry one line. I don't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't sell, so we made five packs. But this was 8 years ago.
Yep.
You know, yeah. We brought them in over at Enfuego, man, and they've sold like hotcakes for quite a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
W is telling me that it's picking up here.
That's good.
I fell in love with those cigars. I smoked them like crazy. I liked the Oscuro a lot.
Yeah, the Oscuro is good stuff.
Yeah, the Serie Privada is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Serie Privada does real well.
They finally gave me one of those.
Yeah. I wasn't getting
them,
man.
I like the cigar a lot too, but I only make rep money. I can't afford those.
Exactly, yeah. That's the way it is, though. I mean, we have people talk about you see all these guys smoking Goldies and all this stuff, and it's like, you ever smoke a Goldie? I'm like, yeah, one.
Yeah.
Like, why? It's like, I'm not going to spend $20 on a cigar. Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason I ever smoked one. Yeah. I don't spend that kind of money on cigars.
Yeah. What do you think of Opus? Well, I've only had four.
Ever.
Yeah. And I didn't buy them, so... Right. I thought they were great, but if I'd been the one that spent the $30 on them, I don't know if I'd have liked it.
Like we always get in a conversation somewhere, you know. Oh, what's the best cigar you ever had? I mean, I've had this conversation 30 times, and I tell them it was the Padron Millennium,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Oh, I've never heard of that." I'm like, "Yeah, it was very rare, and it was $125 a cigar."
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit! You know, like, nah, dude, I didn't spend that. It was a gift.
Yeah.
And thank you, Larry. By the way, it was I smoked it for my birthday. And it was so damn good that my mom was there celebrating with me, and she took a couple of puffs, and then a couple more puffs,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Mom, if you don't give my cigar back, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Yeah. On one of the forums, I didn't read the forum, I just read, you know, saw the headline on Facebook, and this guy says, what are your top five favorite cigars? Whatever you say, or I'm not going to answer, but what you can answer. Something along the lines of, it's just impossible to name your top five favorite cigars. It's just impossible.
It changes all the time, too. It does. You know, the more you
smoke. I want to name drop for a second.
Oh, okay,
but
great.
It's a very good quote, and I apply it to a lot of different things. Anything that's subjective, I always apply this quote. Did a sports radio show years ago, and we had Tony Dorsett on the show. And I asked him, I said, who do you think is the greatest running back of all time? And he said, your favorite. Whoever you think's the best running back of all time is the best running back of all time. And I thought, that's great. And I apply that with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So some, you know, when some people come in the humidor here, so what's a good cigar? The ones you like?
Yeah.
Are you being an ass? No, that's a good cigar. If you like it, it's a good cigar. It doesn't matter what I think. It's
the right answer,
think,
by the way, is Emmett Smith. So just
so we know. Tony would kill Emmett if he had that line.
Well,
let's do a foot race between the two. See who wins that.
Foot race doesn't matter, man.
It does when you're in open field. Shit. And you get caught from behind, Emmett. No, I love Emmett. Emmett's great.
Darren McFadden's one of the fastest running backs in the league. And
but see, Tony had both. And Emmett had both to a degree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm not ripping on Emmett Smith. That's good, the stupidest thing ever. If you don't rip on Dorsett, I won't rip on Emmett.
I love every Cowboy that's ever played for the Cowboys, man.
I don't like Cowboys stuff at all, so.
He's like
my Roger Staubach jersey.
And a rep in Texas, man. Jeez.
I was thinking that I had to dress up, so I put on a black t-shirt.
Yeah.
Brandon's not wearing his tie because Lee's not watching the show.
No, yeah, no, no. Inside joke there.
Lee watches every now and then.
Does he? Yeah. Oh, I got to wear my tie now. Son of a bitch.
Oh, man. So anyway, so far so good, man.
Yeah, very, very tasty so far. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back for the second third of the La Historia in the new fancy super duper size. What's it called again?
The Regalius de Celia.
Oh, geez, that's a lot of stuff to say.
That'll be easy to remember.
Regalius de Celia. Something like that. Regalius? RDC. Oh, okay, there you go. Cool. All right. We'll be back. All right, we're back for the second third. We are smoking the La Historia Regalius de Celia, the new size for the show.
Damn, I was hoping it's going to mess it up.
Yeah, I don't mess things up, man. I'm a pro.
Yeah, right.
I'm a pro.
Yeah, right. You're doing great. Go ahead.
This is take five. And tasty, tasty beast so far. It does definitely taste different than the regular La Historia.
It really does.
Yeah, it does have a different profile.
I had the Toro size,
which is,
I think,
interesting. I mean, just a size difference? Is there nothing that different in the makeup?
Well, no, it's all the same. And personally, wow. I prefer smaller ring gauges. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this is the largest ring gauge of this line. We had a Robusto, Toro, and the Churchill.
Yeah.
And I like this more than the other three. I really
do. That is weird.
And I don't know if it's because of the ring gauge or because of the torpedo end. I don't know what it is. I really don't.
But yeah.
I had one of these back when I had Ernesto with me, and I fell in love with it even more so than the other one.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are pairing today with the Polliner Hefeweizen. Well, two of us are. The two with the bald heads. The guy in the middle is pairing with
the two with testosterone.
White wine of some sort?
A La Crema Chardonnay.
Okay, a Chardonnay.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
There's health reasons involved.
Don't take it down a peg. Don't.
I'm not. Y'all are the ones that went there. I'm not going to let you kick me in the balls when I've got a situation.
I can't even see my beard in this light. It's almost blended in because
I know.
Light.
I noticed that earlier. I looked over actually. I was like,
yeah. Oh, I shaped it up a little bit and I screwed
it
up.
Like you can't see all the gray in there. The white.
Yeah, yeah, it just blends in together.
You can't see mine either.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's weird.
I'm just
facial hair. Before. How long have you had your facial hair?
Since 95.
How long have you had your facial hair?
Since yesterday.
Since you, yeah, damn, just hopped out.
It's to shave like 23 times a day.
So what? Right? I mean, do you have a super thick? Like, if you shave it off, you still see like a 5 o'clock shadow, yeah, even if you're shaved clean.
Yeah, it takes me about a week and a half to get a full beard again.
Damn, and that is like a full beard. I mean, yeah, every patch, there's nothing patchy. I get this, I guess, because I'm Hispanic or whatever. I'll grow this in, but then like the have a gap. I have a gap right here.
Exactly.
Right here, I have a gap. So like it'll grow in like mutton chops, but then there's a gap, so I can't grow a full
beard.
That
actually could look kind of cool, though, if you did it right.
See, I wanted to do this. I want this to go all the way through, but I can't. So you notice it stops.
Yeah, it stops there. Right there, yeah.
And it won't grow, and it's like, I want the whole stripe, but I can't.
Well, you got to let this grow out real long.
And that doesn't work now.
Like, what's that guy? The one that has the super long from Ezra Zion.
Oh, Chris?
Chris, yeah. Chris has the friggin'.
Yeah.
Looks like James Hatfield.
Both that's of another guy who's legit, man.
Yeah, it's another guy who looks like somebody and gets mistaken for him all the time. Everybody thinks he looks like James Hatfield. It's from Metallica. People stop him at the airport, take pictures with him, and shit. And I'm like, what is that about them? And then Fred Ruiz. People say he looks like John Travolta from Pulp Fiction or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Which I don't know if that's a good thing to look like.
Yeah,
really,
true.
Coked out John Travolta.
Well, John Travolta did wind up with Kelly Preston.
Mm.
Speaking of Kelly Preston, we
have
a segment to talk
about.
We
do. We? Yes, we do.
See, that segue, things, that's called a segue.
One of the things we like to talk about on the show a lot because we're men doing man things, smoking cigars,
boobies,
and drinking is boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs. Boobs.
Mams.
That's the official boob song. So what we're going to talk about is there's you know, certain times in life when you hit that certain sweet spot where you start to notice things change. And start to really love boobs.
Yes, okay.
And then your parents let you watch movies.
3 weeks old.
Yeah. And then your parents let you watch movies that have boobs in them. And then you fall in love with the boobies.
I'd be like 19 before I was ever around.
Really?
Yes, my parents
were. My parents were very progressive.
My mom was the this thing, you know?
My parents were very progressive. When was the first time? Okay, and when was the first time you saw a movie with your parents that had boobs in it, and were you embarrassed?
Probably about 8.
Yeah.
And I wasn't embarrassed of the boobs. I was embarrassed of the erection in my pants.
Now, I saw them, but the second it would pop up, I mean, my mom's hand was right in front of my face, you know?
Yeah.
And I told you the story about Dress to Kill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have to tell you this story.
You know the movie Dress
to Kill?
Kill
with Angie Dickinson?
Yeah. Not her boobs, by the way.
No, but
they were great. They were fantastic.
And
boobs.
I remember my mom, I was sick. I was like 11 or 12. And my mom and Dad wanted to take my brothers out, and they wanted me to go, and I'm sick. And my mom, I remember her whispering to my dad, she's like, Dress to Kill, it was on HBO or something, Dress to Kill comes on at 7, we have to be home before 7. Well, that just made me go. That just made me aware of it. I'm like, oh,
what's this? Why? What? I gotta watch that.
And we had this box. This is back before you actually had HBO as a cable service. You had to buy a box that plugged into your TV.
Yeah, and you had to slide the thing.
Yeah. And so, sure enough, it's a 7 o'clock rolls around. 7 o'clock rolls around. I'm on
TV on you, and then 33.
Yeah. And so, sure enough, it comes on, and this is the greatest shower scene of all time. And I'm like, And so, all of a sudden, I hear the car pull up in the parking lot. Turn the TV off. Turn the box off. We're in Jeff in bed. And I hear my mom. First thing my mom does is walk in and puts her hand on the box to see if it's warm. The box is warm!
That's what she said.
And I got my ass spanked. Because I forgot to change the channel. I turned the box off everything. Forgot to change the channel. So yeah, I got busted.
That's one of those things. That's one of the things you love to hear later in life. Yeah. The box is warm, man. That's okay to hear that later.
Especially after a shower scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife just went and saw Magic Mike, and I still couldn't get laid afterwards. So.
Ah, damn. That's too bad.
Because she didn't look
man.
Like what's his name.
Yeah, she didn't want to downgrade.
Exactly. Okay, so what were some of the surprise or the boobs that when you saw, you were like, holy crap.
God, yeah.
At Whoever, that age or now?
All time. All time, yeah.
I got to tell you, I think the best set of boobs I've ever seen. Did you watch True Detective last season?
Oh, yeah. Alexandra Daddario.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We were actually aware of her before True
Detective. Gorgeous girl, yeah. I mean, I and it's one of those things where
it freaked me out because I saw her first in the light.
Percy
thing.
Jackson, yeah. And she's like, she's a kid in that. Like, oh, and then you see him making, see him boobs, and you're like, do you feel pervy when you see them?
A little bit.
That's like Christina Ricci. That. Like when you see Christina Ricci is like in Adam's Family, and then you see her naked, you're like,
absolutely.
Nice boobs, though.
So I was lucky. I'd only seen Alexandra Daddario in two horror films, so I didn't see her in the kid movies. So
yeah.
I was fine with seeing her boobs. Like, let's show them.
I actually was hoping that they would come back out in San Andreas, and it didn't happen.
Yeah,
but that actually segue to Carla. Is it Gugino? Gugino,
Gugino.
She's got some.
She's got a nice set.
Too. I'm not crazy about her nice face, set. But that rack is awesome.
I think she's sexy. I think she's sexy as hell. So Sin City. Oh yeah, like
yes sir.
She's a pissed off looking.
That's okay, man. Change that face pretty quick.
Who has that look? So
well, yeah, because you're talking.
Yeah,
to him.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and
see pissed off looking mace. I don't understand.
But I love about the finally get to see him scene.
Yeah,
is when you've actually seen him in a few movies. I'm like, God, I wish a girl saw her boobs. So I'd seen Twins, and I'd seen a couple other Kelly Preston movies, and I was like, holy shit, I want to see her. Mischief
is the bomb.
Oh, my God.
It was an old coming-of-age movie that really didn't... It was on HBO a lot. It didn't really do much at the box office.
Remember the kid on Golden Pond?
You ever seen on Golden Pond?
The kid that they adopted?
Well, yeah, that was... The only other significant movie he made was this movie with Mischief because he got to do Kelly Preston and tons of boobs.
And she takes off her shirt and you're just like, holy shit. Those are freaking awesome.
I love boobs.
Yeah, and I think we had the benefit of, having HBO and, and being part of that subculture, because think about it, before when all you had was movies and TV, and the TVs was just basically shows that were on. They didn't really show movies before that, and that was pretty much, if you saw the movies, you want to see those boobs again, you gotta go back to the movies. But now we got the benefit of
I thank Al Gore every day for inventing the internet, because I see all the boobs I need to right there.
Yep.
Well, can't go without Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs. Those
Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs are very impressive. Yep.
That was very impressive.
And it was always the face I'm kind of like, she's not gonna. And then you see her boobs and you're like, damn. Yep.
I never hated her face.
I always thought her face was
I never loved her face, but I never hated it.
It didn't look like she got hit with a meat cleaver,
but it was just never like super sexy. Yeah. It was just. Yeah. But then you see her dancing in True Lies, and you're like, gee, I call it Twin Lies because it's boobs.
Twin Lies.
Yeah. But just
I saw on Facebook that was all ad-lib.
Yeah. I read that. Yeah.
That dance scene was ad-lib, but Arnold didn't know, and that's why he dropped the recorder. Was like, holy shit.
Impressive.
Yeah. She was in her 40s at that time, too.
Looking good, looking good.
Can't say that anymore, but that's okay.
Yep, Bo Derek, nice set of amazing. Babies.
She's going to be in Sharknado 3, I just saw.
Yeah, along with Mark Cuban. Naked, though.
She still looks great.
Yeah, she does look good still, yeah. Okay. But some of the ones that were very surprising, Christina Ricci, I was surprised when I saw her naked. I'm like, oh, wow.
Kim Cattrall. Doesn't look like she has boobs, but when you see them, they're not bad.
Yeah.
And
I remember
not mannequin.
Her being Lassie.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why do you call her Lassie?
What was that movie she was in? She's just sitting on a bed, topless, and I'm like, oh wow, she actually has nice boobs. I didn't never would have thought. Not at all.
Another one that surprised me was Uma Thurman, because I always thought she was just this mousy little thing, and then you see her boobs very nice set of boobs. Yeah. Jacked up feet, but nice boobs.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even realize she has feet. But that's okay.
She has feet.
Kill Bill. I've seen in Kill Bill where she's like talking to her feet and they're all club toed and funky looking. It's like, whoa. Should have got a foot double for that one.
Yeah, she's got nice boobs, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's got nice boobs.
Damn it. Somebody just right through my face. Right through my face? Right through my brain.
Yeah.
Damn it. Oh, well, go ahead.
Other boobs? Other boobs?
Yeah, some other boobs.
Oh, now, bad boobs. There's a lot of bad boobs out there. And there's ones that you really wanted to see for a long time, and then you see them, and you're like, roll those up.
Like, you know what? You look a lot better with a shirt on. And I have a hard time saying that about many women. I love boobs.
Terry Hatcher.
And the most ironic thing about that was she's the girl on Seinfeld that said, yes, they're real and they're spectacular. And she's a liar.
Because they were real, but they're not spectacular. there were some pancake-looking deals. Yeah. There were some bad ones.
Halle Berry's weren't great. I was very disappointed.
I was disappointed with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're not horrible. I mean,
you
take that off and you got that. It's like, okay. But you're like, no.
I was more impressed with her in Monster Ball, which is ironic because she looked like shit in Monster Ball, but that sex scene was nice.
She was hot.
I wasn't real impressed with Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's like nothing there.
About her is perfect. Except her cans.
Yeah.
She does weird pointing.
It was odd. Weird. Yeah.
It's like they didn't fill in or something. Yeah.
It's like very, very weird. Yeah. But when she played Monster once again, she looked horrible, but her boobs got bigger.
Yeah, because she gained all the weight. Right. Yeah, she had more weight on her boobs, so they look better. But then you're like this, like, oh, cover the face. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, those boobs are okay.
She was great in that movie.
Anyway, she did a really good job in that movie.
But another disappointing boobs.
That's the one you have to eat. Like, you wouldn't have even noticed if she was doing a good job. If she looked like herself in that movie, you'd be like, she was okay. You know, because she looked horrible.
Yeah,
she did. She was atrocious.
Yeah. Hilary Swank.
That's another one. Cool.
I didn't expect him. I was like, she's not attractive.
I kind of like her boobs.
They're nice. That's what I'm saying. They were surprisingly good. Yeah. I was like, those are pretty good boobs. Yeah. I'm happy with those.
Yeah, I was about to say, you thought those were bad?
I thought they were good because I just didn't expect it. I was like, I saw her in like Karate Kid, Karate Kid or something. I'm like, troll.
I'm a big fan of The Office, the TV show The Office.
Yeah.
And there was
the American or British?
Both, but mostly the American.
Right answer.
Mostly the American. There was a scene where Michael was out of the office, so of course the cats are going to play, or the mice are going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were divided over whether Hilary Swank was hot or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a chalkboard, and each person had to present their case as to whether or not they thought she was hot. It was an awesome scene. How embarrassing for Hilary Swank.
No kidding.
She has to be that celebrity that they're talking about.
Another one that's kind of like that, too, is like sometimes I see her, and I'm like, she's hot, and sometimes I see her, and I'm like, man face.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway's one.
She's got
nice boobs, though.
I think they're weird, but they're nice.
Yeah. And the other one is the one that just got divorced from Ben Affleck. What's her name? Jennifer Garner. I've never seen her naked, but just her face. Like, sometimes I see her and she looks really pretty.
Yeah,
other times I see her and she's got like a man face. It's like
sometimes on the Capital One commercial she looks good, and the next one she doesn't.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway's like that for me, man. Sometimes I see her and I'm like, man, she is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I see her in other things and I'm like, man, she looks like a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple like that. What's her name? Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley, beautiful face, looks like a boy naked. Just like nothing there. It's like, ugh.
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie
Hawn was a disappointment when I saw
her. We still look. Yeah. Goldie Hawn, spectacular ass, no boobs.
Yeah, none.
So.
And her daughter was that way to me.
Same thing. Yep. Genetically the same. Yeah.
Yeah, disappointing.
I got to tell you, number one on my list all time is still Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston?
I think she gets hotter with age.
He likes Jennifer Aniston a lot.
She was my number one for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So she's not anymore?
She's close.
Selma Hayek's got a great set of boobs and beautiful face.
She just ruined it for me with the whole unibrow when she did that.
Frida, The other one that's the other Hispanic girl that also has a great body, but I can't stand her voice is Penelope Cruz.
She's like, got a great body, though.
I saw fucking her in a fantastic body. Where she was like cooking.
Yeah.
And she was naked in that a lot.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed because she's one of those that's super skinny.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think she's got much.
But damn nice boobs.
Hotness.
But as soon as she opens her mouth, it's like, put a dick in it. Speaking too much. That. Just stop talking.
Another Latin chick.
We just went blue. Yeah.
Another Latin chick.
I'm trying to watch my mouth, man.
We said you didn't have to.
All bets are off.
One Latin chick that I think is smoking hot. And she's only been naked in foreign films. So you have to like actually look her up.
Okay.
Paz de la Vega.
Paz de la Vega, yeah. No, she is Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, she's from Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah. Butt ass naked in that whole
before,
show.
Before.
Yeah.
The only American movie I knew she was in was Spanglish.
Yeah.
But there's
she's got a banging hot body.
Yeah, she does.
Eva Green,
man.
Body she's got.
Bond girl with a great body.
Did you see the movie Dreamers?
Jeez, yeah.
I actually saw her get her cherry popped.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore.
And she's her brother.
Amber Heard is another one. Beautiful girl, great body. Yeah.
Small boobs, but they're nice boobs. Let's define that. Boobs don't have to be big.
She doesn't know if she's lesbian or she's not.
And so I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with it, but just pick one.
Yeah.
Now, You can have great boobs. They don't have to be big.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can have big boobs, and they don't have to be great.
Yeah.
You know? And Amber Heard's boobs aren't big, but they are beautiful.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's
and whoever the girl was in the new Friday the 13th that got naked, I don't know who she was. But
Juliana Gould? Juliana Gould?
I don't know, but it was an extended boob scene, and it was fantastic. Yeah. I'm like, God, that was
I still think that line was ad-libbed.
Yeah.
And that guy's going, your boobs are great. Yeah. But there's a couple of girls in there. The girl that was Mike Madonna's wife at the time.
Yeah,
Willa Ford.
Yeah,
great rack.
Wow.
And then America Olivo. She's been in some stuff. Mm. Her rack was great too.
Mm.
So I was like, you know, if there's three great racks and you've got the best of the three, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, she had a great rack. Mm. I think that's her name, Juliana Gould or something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway,
yeah, but we like boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs are great.
They are. Spectacular.
Yep. Some bad ones. Let's see. We did Terry Hatcher. Who's some other bad ones you saw? And you're like,
Keira Knightley.
To remember good boobs and bad boobs.
Yeah, you gotta erase the bad ones from your brain.
That's true. That's true.
And you know, a lot of times you just get shocked by actually seeing boobs on TV.
The shocking one for me was Kathy Bates. I didn't want to see her naked ever, and she was butt ass naked.
Classic example. They can be big, but they doesn't mean they're great.
Yeah. Kathy Bates, great actress.
Face was so awesome.
Great actress. Did not ever need to be naked in anything. Don't know
that
why.
That's obviously the joke. You just soiled my brain. Yeah, I just threw it in my mouth a little bit. I apologize.
That's one of those moments, though, man. Especially you see it in the big screen, you're like, why?
Did you like that movie? A lot of people hate that movie. I liked it.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. I liked it.
I like Jack Nicholson for the most part, but he's one of these actors that just plays himself.
Here's a girl whose boobs, I think, are right in the middle of the road. I could see people loving them. I could see people going, Kim Basinger.
Yeah,
they're okay. They're solid.
It's the whole package, man. She's really beautiful.
Yeah, but it's the rest of the package.
She's pretty hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the rest of the package.
Even now, she's still hot, man.
Okay.
She's got to be like 104.
Yeah, something like that.
The first crush of my life, as we've said before, was Lindsay Wagner.
Mm.
And I remember
damn old are you?
Do you even know who Lindsay Wagner is?
Yes,
Bionic Woman. Bionic Woman. How's that? You know who she is?
I watched that on TV Land when I was a kid.
Wow.
Anyway, shut up. So I might work with my dad, and his job was to stop at different stores and drop off linens and towels, pick up uniforms and shit like that. And we go to the CD bookstore, and it says Lindsay Wagner nude, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to be able to grab this magazine? Seeing this, so, walk around. Damn it. There's no way I can do this. Because this is back when they had it behind the can.
Yeah.
And it blocked off with cardboard.
So you can't see it. Yeah.
And it was one of those smut magazines. It wasn't Playboy or Penthouse. It was obviously an early picture of her and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, walking by, my dad goes, Lindsay Wagner nude. And I'm like, what? And like, I hadn't seen this. He's like, I might have to get that. So he gets it. He's looking for it. And he says, I'm going to leave this under the seat. You better not look at it. Hell yeah.
Aww. Let down.
She didn't have anything.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing.
Dad, I was going to stay sitting here for about another 20 minutes.
I still loved her, but it was just like, oh.
Yeah. That's sad when that happens. Farrah Fawcett was like that for me. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So beautiful. Such just, you know, you see it and you're like, why'd she wait so long, number one?
Yeah.
And then, just depressing.
Now, I know it was airbrushed beyond belief.
Yeah.
But my brother, I think it was my brother, brother or friend had a subscription to Playboy. And it was like Nancy Sinatra was going to be in Playboy in like the 90s. I'm thinking, she's old, and why is she? Nancy Sinatra?
No thanks.
So my brother's like, did you see that Nancy Sinatra thing? I'm like, no. He goes, kind of nice. So I'm like, she had a great rack. I mean, I'm sure it's airbrushed beyond belief. But the pictures look good.
Yeah.
Pretty not bad. Better than the Lindsay Wagner one.
Yeah.
That's for
sure. Did you guys ever see Kelly LeBrock's boobs?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
She never really like fully showed him, though, did she?
She was in Playboy.
Yeah, oh, was she? Mm-hmm. Might have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, she's sexy.
One of the ones I was disappointed with was Vanna White.
Yeah.
Saw her in Playboy.
I thought they were okay.
They were okay. No
just
ass.
No ass.
Well, we're talking
about as a kid. Well, I didn't realize that, but as a kid, you know, I'd watch that show, and I'm like, Vanna White's the most gorgeous woman in the world.
Spend 20 minutes in the bathroom after the Wheel of Fortune.
I see her, and I'm like, what is this? Horrible.
Yeah,
that was disappointing. Oh, Victoria Principal was disappointing.
Yeah,
I had the biggest crush on her on Dallas. You know,
Never watched Dallas.
I only watched it because JR and Victoria Principal.
Yeah. Okay.
actually,
did your mom watch it, or who was it? Who was the one that watched
like
it?
Okay, miles from South Fork Ranch.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. My parents were big on family night. So Friday night was
you guys Mormon?
No, we're just wanted to.
Just American.
So I've been accused of being Jewish and Mormon in the last 3 days.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But now Friday night was our thing. Leading into the weekend, it was pizza night. Dukes of Hazzard came on at 7.
Yep.
I guess we can't say that name anymore.
Right.
Incredible Hulk came on at 8, and Dallas came on at 9.
TV Land can suck my ass, by the way.
Yeah.
So that was our night. We eat pizza and watched all three of those shows back to back to back. So my mom's like, if you're going to watch Dukes of Hazzard, if I have to watch Dukes of Hazzard, you're going to watch Dallas. So that was our deal. So that's why I watched Dallas.
No, mm-hmm. I got to watch wrestling with my grandmother.
Cool.
That was family.
Me too.
Yeah, I watched wrestling with my dad. Wrestling and Star Trek.
Sportatorium. God, mm-hmm. That was so amazing back then.
My grandpa and aunt had front row seats. And they were both women of size.
Mm-hmm.
So they would get two extra seats. Mm-hmm. So if I'd show up there with my friends and she'd see me, I could go sit there and sit in the front row.
Nice.
Terry Gordy fell in my lap one time.
Bam Bam Gordy.
Bam Bam Gordy. And I punched him in the back because he was a free bird. But now that he wore the Confederate flag, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Backstreet USA is for sissies.
All right, so what do you guys think? What do you think of the second third of the La Historia?
Hang on. He's an obscure reference. Okay. I'm blowing you up, dog. I'm going to sing it.
Go sing it with me? Cut.
I'm singing it.
We'll be right back.
I still remember the words to that song. Why did it pop into my head like that?
He just sang Bad Street USA for us.
Yes.
You're going to sing it again, Bad. We're back for the last third of the La Historia.
No, that was my rehearsal time.
Actually, I wanted to bring up something real quick. I see you guys. One of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody takes the band off their cigar when they first light it or when they first get it.
Well, when they first light it, yeah.
And I tell people, A, you're going to mess up the wrapper of your cigar. You need to wait until the heat gets closer and help melt the pectin a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I want people to know that you're smoking my cigar when you're in a lounge full of people.
Well, that's
so I just took it off. So
I know. I just pointing that out. It's just something that
I wait until it gets close to the band.
He does a lot because of his history working in the shop.
I had to tell Matt.
You had to do it?
Yeah, because Matt would. I've made out with Matt like 47,000 times because he'd grab my cigar, smoke it, and I wouldn't realize it. And I'd pick it up like.
You know, so he would take his band off.
So I'd take my band off so I know which cigar was mine.
Yeah.
You know. So Bad Street Atlanta GA.
I tried to save you guys.
Baddest street in the whole USA. Bad Street, nasty and hot. The further down that block you went, the badder it got.
That was really a song.
By Michael P.S. Hayes.
Wow. I watched wrestling, but I didn't get into the whole story and stuff and everything. No.
I don't either. Wasn't it like purely sex, pure sexy, or something stupid like that?
Wow.
The Freebirds and Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs were the team, man.
That was the best rival.
I still don't understand how the Iron Claw could be something that would make you defecate yourself.
It just seemed like he was grabbing his face like that. That was it.
Dude, I've made my brother's ball with the Iron Claw.
With your girly hands?
I didn't used to have girly hands.
Oh, my bad.
Baseball player, I have strong hands.
I made the Iron Claw. Yeah,
yeah.
That those guys had such a sad story. Are they going to make a movie about that?
There's supposed to be a movie in the making.
Yeah, the documentary they just made.
They did like an 8-minute documentary.
Like that, yeah. They're like the kidneys of
kidneys of wrestling.
The Kennedys of the wrestling world.
Yeah, yeah. Tragic family. Except for they were. Well, I wouldn't say that. They weren't quite as criminal. Quite as criminal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Kevin just looked so defeated talking about that because you know. Talking about all it's worth. Yeah. You know, David was the first one to die of the grown-ups because they lost a little kid, a little brother when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin said, Kevin's a real religious guy. He said he had a premonition before David was going to go to Japan. And he said, David, don't go. He said, stay here. He goes, I think you're sick and you need to. He's like, Kevin, I'm fine. He said, they don't have as good a doctor. You know, the doctors aren't as good over there. Come here. He said, stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, Kevin, I'm good. He says, you better not die on me in Japan. And he died.
That had to have been a long damn time ago for them to say the doctors weren't better in Japan.
Yeah. Well, it's 85. So
yeah.
84, so yeah. But and so when the phone rang, he knew before he even answered. He's like, David's dead.
Yeah. Sad times, man. That was bad news for that whole thing.
And it was like dominoes after that. You know?
Wrestling is just, to me, it was always soap opera for men. That's really what it was. You know?
Yeah, it was cool.
It was.
I liked the athleticism of it. And the Von Erichs were all really good athletes.
Yeah, and it, people say, oh, that's fake. It's not fake. It's choreographed.
It's choreographed.
Those guys are real athletes. They really tear their bodies
they
up.
They really get hurt. Oh,
yeah. I mean, we were watching the pay-per-view when Owen Hart fell from the rope and died.
Yeah. I saw that, too.
It was crazy.
Yep. Then I heard a podcast about it. It was crazy, but the whole thing about him switching teams and then everything went south on him and everything, it was just crazy. Whole friggin', what's his name, Turner, taking the whole wrestling thing for a spin and not working out.
Yeah, jeez.
God, what a jackass that guy was, Ted Turner. I'm going to colorize movies. Screw you, Ted Turner. Destroy my friggin' childhood like that.
Yeah, it's A Wonderful Life in Color. That's what I want
to
see.
I got suckered into that one time. I bought it on DVD because like, I was trying to get it for Christmas because I didn't have it. Like, well, you know, they show it all the time. I was like, yeah, but I want to watch it on DVD when I want to watch it. So I went and grabbed it. It was like in the $5 bin somewhere. And it had color on the front, but I didn't think the movie was going to be in color. Put it in. We're like, oh, man.
It just ruins the whole movie.
It's about a DVR, man.
Yeah,
exactly. And like Gone with the Wind in black and white would not have worked.
Yeah.
You know, it needed to have the color and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, just admit, it amazes me with that whole that technology back then, Technicolor, where they were coloring everything frame by frame. Yeah, that's crazy. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
I remember being like 6 years old, maybe, and Jaws was playing on the TV in 3D. And everybody was going crazy. They had to go to 7-Eleven to get their 3D glasses. And, you know, now everybody's doing it in 3D, but it only took over the last, like, 5 or 6 years for it to get big again.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They had to do that because they're dying. Yeah. And the theater was dying. They had to have something to get people back in the seats. And 3D was where it was.
Yeah.
Thank Avatar for that.
Yeah.
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 So what do you think of the last third here?
It's getting a little pepperier.
Yeah.
A little more peppery-ish.
It's
a good stick.
I'm smoking fast on this sucker.
Crazy thing about everything that he makes really is it won't get harsh. You're going to end up burning your lips before you burn your finger. I mean, it's crazy. And he even said one time, because I asked him, you know, how many does he test draw, like every half wheel or every, you know, and he said, we don't test draw anything.
Really?
I was like, holy shit, really? He goes, yeah. He said, if you have to test draw or your cigars, you don't know what you're doing.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that's kind of a slap in the face to
everybody else who tests
80% of the cigar world.
Right.
That's
he just got rollers that are that good, I guess. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
I still think he'd like some sort of quality control, but if he's got that confidence, then there you go.
Yeah. It's tasty. You just got real sweet
on
me, too.
I'm only doing this because I'm a little off and I don't want to. But that's my fault because the way I was smoking it.
This just got real sweet in the last third for me.
See, mine's peppery, but it could be that what I'm drinking.
Yep. That's tasty, nice. Tasty.
Good stuff.
So out of the line that, you know, because you've smoked EP Korea before you got in with it.
Yeah.
What is your daily smoke out of the stuff that you sell?
I like to start my mornings with the new Connecticut Reserva, the new Wave Reserva.
Yeah.
I love that stick, man. I don't smoke many Connecticuts, but they took the Dominican binder out of the New Wave and put a Connecticut broadleaf in as the binder, and they use a higher priming on the wrapper. And so it gives you a little oomph, but it also has a lot more flavor, and it's more of a mild plus.
Yeah.
So I smoke, I mean, when I have my samples of it, I try and smoke one every morning with my coffee.
Yeah.
That's probably the only one that I smoke on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I also think that our Cardinal Maduro is probably one of the most underrated cigars.
I was just getting ready to go there before he brought
up another topic. I love that stick, man. I smoke a ton of them. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great cigar.
He had given me one, and it was in my locker. It had been in my locker for a long time. And finally, one day, I was like, go ahead and smoke this. So I lit it up. I texted him like, dude, this fucking Cardinal is nice.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You know, and whenever I go somewhere and there's other, you know, brand owners or cigar manufacturers there, and I go to give them a cigar, they ask me if I have the Cardinal Maduro. And for me, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a feather in our cap that our one of our older lines can be the favorites of some of the guys that make cigars and own cigar companies.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So what day are you leaving for the show?
I am leaving Thursday morning.
Okay, you?
Tomorrow morning.
Sometime tomorrow I'm leaving. I'm not sure exactly.
You driving? You're driving tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. You're driving, right? I'm flying.
Yeah, I'm driving.
Yeah, I don't have Louisiana in my...
So why you fly? Why don't you fly? You just want
to
stop in.
Well, anyway. I don't like to fly to begin with.
I don't like flying either.
But I've got family in Baton Rouge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
But I don't have Louisiana as my territory, but the guy that does is out of Florida, and he's not going to make it there before the show. And so I'm going to hit a couple of the shops in Louisiana on my way to Baton Rouge and give them this cigar and give them our new Oscuro that are both going to be released at the show. And that way they can try them and kind of build a little excitement before they go to the show.
Yeah.
A lot of Louisiana people are not going to the show, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
They're just boycotting it because of the whole ban, smoking ban.
So I'm going to hit the few tomorrow and Wednesday that I know aren't going to the show. At least
it gives me an opportunity to go meet some of those guys because I do think I'm going to be getting Louisiana here pretty soon.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so it'll give me a chance to kind of meet those guys and go in there. And then
I'll give you some people if there's some stories you don't want to worry about.
I'll let you know. And then I'm going to stay with my family in Baton Rouge. My uncle is going to chemo on Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
So I need to be there a little bit later, anyways. Yeah. And then Wednesday, meeting with the Florida rep, and we're going to go to Church Hills and another shop in Baton Rouge.
Church Hills, no offense to any other shop, might be the most impressive shop I've ever been in.
I've heard nothing but
because it's not. Now, Jorge's is just a cigar shop, and it's impressive beyond belief. This is not just a cigar shop. They've got exquisite wines selection. They have a liquor selection. They've got a bar area, and then they've got another
lounge?
Classy, elegant lounge in the back, or cigar or bar in the back, where they have live music and the good food.
That's cool.
It's the bomb. That place is great.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
It's a beautiful place. I will not have oversold it when you see it. It's like, holy crap.
I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be able to.
Are you staying with family?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
I'm excited to be able to go see a couple of those spots in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I do expect to get it within the next month or two in my territory. Because the Florida guys, he's behind it 100%. He said, "Look, I don't make it out there near enough. It's almost like me going out to El Paso. I do it maybe once every 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for me just to go into Louisiana. It's right there.
Yeah.
I'm hitting spots that are a mile or an hour or so away from there. I might as well just go into Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I love Louisiana. I mean, I do. I love the food. I love the architecture. I love the culture. And going to New Orleans, like all these people are saying, "Oh, I can't wait to go down there. I'm gonna get so fucked up. I'm gonna party." That's not even what I go down there for. I love that city. That's my kind of place. Everybody's, I wish it was still in Vegas. I don't give a shit about Vegas, man. I really don't.
Yeah, New Orleans is like, it's like the history of America. It's like right there. It still looks like it's, old,
man.
And like I love all the dilapidated buildings and the music on every corner and fantastic food. It's an awesome time, man.
Can you go and get a damn daiquiri at a drive-thru because they put a piece of paper over the straw? It's a closed container. That's my kind of place, man. I'm down.
My ex-wife and I had always planned on doing a trip to New Orleans. And for this job I wound up getting later on, I had to fly out Monday morning to New Orleans and fly back Friday night, three weeks out of the month. I mean, it was there. I remember my first hour on that first Monday, called my wife and said, "I am so glad we never made a trip here. This place is old, it's ugly, it smells like ass, and I can't stand this place. I can't believe I'm going to have to spend 3 weeks a month in this shithole." She's like, "Man, well, good. Well, at least we know." She goes, "I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah." About 4 hours later, I'm like, "I fucking love New Orleans, man. This is awesome."
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a blast, man.
And that's why I don't understand this whole smoking ban.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't make
sense.
Because
you get down to Bourbon Street and around
there. It's fucking New Orleans.
It smells like piss and vomit.
Yeah.
But they don't allow smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, if anything, this would make it smell better.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it either.
It's,
yeah.
It's one of my favorite places in New Orleans, in the French Quarter, is Lafitte's Blacksmith Pub. You ever been there?
I have.
It's the oldest pub in America.
Yeah.
Very cool place. They don't even have their own electricity.
Yeah, like opened like 3 weeks ago. It's old.
Super fucking cool place.
No, it's awesome.
But we were walking, and you're going through the gay area to get there, and I'm like, I think we're fucking lost.
There's anything wrong with
it. And I was like, "Hey, cutie, where's Blacksmith Pub?" And like, "Oh, you just keep going straight." And I was like, "I've been going straight since I walked through this area. I appreciate it." But it's a really cool spot. And so a lot of my customers that hadn't been there before, I'm taking them out there and check it out. It's a part of history. I mean, it's the oldest pub in America. Man, you got to check it out.
That's cool. Yeah. Awesome. There's so many things I want to do there, but our schedule's pretty tight. I don't know how much I'm going to get to do.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm there. It ends Tuesday, right? Tuesday's the half day.
Yeah.
I don't leave till Wednesday at 6. I'm like, why am I there till Wednesday at 6?
You
booked
your flight or
no, they did. So I don't know if we're going to party the last day, but I don't know. Hopefully.
I didn't get a chance to sleep off.
Maybe you are going to see America, the concert. Thanks, IPCPR.
Richardson does that Wildflower Fest every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I went, it was a great lineup.
It was just
fucked up. But it was Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, yes, sir.
The Guess Who. Awesome.
Awesome.
And then America. Well, after Blue Oyster Cult and Guess Who, America sounded like they were just boring.
Yeah.
And if America had opened, it would have been a great set. But after the Guess Who and Rockin', you know, it's like, and then they're, been to the desert.
You know, and
like,
America's not bad, but
no,
I think
fine.
They're charging like $25 a head.
I'm not paying $25.
I'm paying $25 a head to go to a concert. It's going to be legit.
Yeah.
Not America. I'd go say, I'd pay $25 to see the Guess Who in a heartbeat. I'd pay $50. I've seen them twice. They're amazing. I want Brandon to go see them if they ever come back to Wildflower. They were amazing. Yeah. You forget about how many hits they had until they start doing it. You're like, shit, they got like 19 hits or something.
They did that? They just sang that? I didn't know they sang that. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so what, you what come you, back Wednesday too? Or?
Well, I'm gonna stay there that Tuesday night with my aunt and uncle again.
Oh, because he's...
And then I'm going to drive home.
I'm going to leave right after the show on Tuesday.
Have you been, okay, this is your first show?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is your first show. Yeah. I went last year with a different company.
Oh, Fancy Pants.
But, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
I'm so much better than you.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but this is my first time officially going with, you know, in-house, right. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see what the slowdown's like, because everybody always says, like, a couple months after, it's like crickets, you know, like nobody buys anything.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. That's why I booked a couple of events, like, the end of July and into August.
Yeah, I've got a couple. Yeah, I've got some of those, too.
And that's why I've got to hurry up and get back, because I actually have an event on that Friday, the 24th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not
bad. Oh, good.
That's not bad.
Good. That's the 24th. Yeah. Okay, because I've got an event on the 24th, and I'm thinking, so I got to get home Tuesday night and have the event on Thursday? That's going to suck. No, it's the Friday. I've got one on the 24th. Where's my event? That's a good question.
Wow.
Oh, D&B.
You're great at this.
D&B and Mesquite. D&B and Mesquite.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He couldn't. He tried to kick you out to do my event, and he said he couldn't.
We've been talking about this event for weeks. But he,
I've got one in Overland Park, but not till the following week.
Okay.
The following week, yeah. Dude, so I'm going to come to yours.
You guys have fucking Kansas, man.
Kansas is cool.
I'm so jealous. I want it so bad.
I never thought I would say Kansas is cool, but I love a lot of the shops down there.
I only have Wichita. Mm. But last week I was there, and I got to be honest. I'm always honest. It might not be smart sometimes, but I'm always honest when it comes to stuff like this. I always dread the Kansas trip. It's like, it's a long drive, and, you know, I hadn't had much luck up there. Get a bunch of, hey, yeah, we'll order, and you don't get anything. This past week, I just thought, well, I've got an event, so at least now I'm going to get something out of this. This is cool. Got up there, hung out with those guys at Westside.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time. Just driving back, I was like kind of sad I was leaving Wichita. I'm like, I kind of like this city now.
It's yeah,
really there's, kinda, there's a lot of really cool shops there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've got some good friends of mine that go to the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my boy Matt Cochran and your pops.
Shout outs.
But yeah, they're always like, "Hey, when you coming?" I'm like, well, they promised me I'd get Kansas, but then they took it away from me, mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go. I'm sorry.
That's too bad.
That no sucks. Offense to Kansas, but I'm not going to Kansas unless it's in.
Yeah, I get you.
Oh, so I go to see Brett at Auburn the next day. Sorry, Rep Talk. Whatever. It's our show. I guess he bred at Auburn. We talked on the phone a bunch of times. Mm. Never actually met him. And that is a cool place.
Yeah.
It's a liquor store that makes specs look like a spec, to be honest. And you walk in, no offense to specs, I'm just talking about size-wise. And you walk in, the liquor store's here, and then there's a cigar humidor. And then another door, and it's this lounge. It's freaking huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even longer than this lounge. It's a nice, long lounge. And so we're sitting there, we're talking, shooting the shit, and these people come in with these suitcases, and I'm thinking, oh, another cigar rep, and, you know, I had an appointment, but...
Please tell me they were machine guns. No, make the story so badass.
Better. Scotch salesman for a scotch taster.
Boom. Nice.
Yes. Boom. 12 different scotches.
Wow.
It was awesome. And my hotel was only like 4.5 minutes away. So like, nice.
Drive like this for 4.5 hours.
That easy. So, yeah, that was cool.
That is cool. I'm glad. Sorry I missed that.
Jeez. Yeah, it's too bad.
You said you are going to come to my event?
Yeah, I'll be there.
It's going to be cool, man. That's my bartender challenge.
That's going
to
be cool.
Yeah, oh, is that on the 24th?
Yeah.
I don't get to come.
Ah, too bad, fucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead and pitch that. So it's going to be at Renegade Cigar Shop.
Well, see, before I started as a rep, I was the manager of a bar up in Frisco. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it started out as a fine wine bar, but they were losing their ass.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took over, I turned it into a craft bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did craft whiskeys, craft beers,
craft
cocktails.
Cheese, American cheese. No. Okay, sorry. Not that craft. Anyway, go ahead.
I can't look at you right now. But I learned some really good craft cocktails, and some of the stuff that I had made in the past, I brought into there, and, you know, there were huge hits. And my favorite drink is an old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had old fashions that they make like fruit cocktails, and they're fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And I went to Chamberlain's and got one, and I had to send it back because it was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made sure that I made it the right way. I use rye whiskey. I don't use bourbon. I mean, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I've had people tell me it was the best cocktail they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy that one of the employees at Renegade, you know, he is a bartender, and he's bragging about his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do a bartender's challenge. So we're going to be, it's going to be kind of a cut and light. It's not going to be a full-on event.
Yeah.
But they're going to be having all kinds of deals on EP Carrillo cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be set up on one side of the lounge, and I'll be set up on the other side. And so we're both going to be making our signature cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the night, you get to judge and pick which one you think is better.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's
cool. I'm going to knock it out of the park.
What time's that? What's the time frame on that?
It doesn't matter because you're not going to be there, sir.
Mine might end early enough to go.
It'll be
Renegade's the second closest store to my house.
It'll be at 7, and it'll go until we run out of liquor.
So 7 to 7:30.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Okay.
This is Texas after all.
I think mine's 6 to 9. I can get back from Mesquite in 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's going to be and that's one of the things that, you know, this company, they're the owners are not big on drinking at all.
Yeah.
But one of the unique things that I can do at my events is make cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a registered bartender.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make cocktails, and I can do things at my events that a lot of other reps can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that, and they're huge hits.
Yeah.
And I've got people upselling just to get another cocktail.
Cool.
And so if I can sell an extra, you know, 5 cigars per person so they can get another drink, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's a cool deal.
But, it's turned out to be really cool ever since I first started doing my events with Southern Draw. You know, getting a buddy of mine owns Firewheel Brewing in Rowlett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he would come out and pour beer for the events and pair them with the cigars. And now I've got Ron Abuelo Rum mm-hmm. actually sponsors my events, and he'll get
cool.
a couple of bottles of rum for him. But I can make certain cocktails that, you know, that's something extra and unique that I can do. It's pretty cool.
That's way awesome. Cool, man. That's way awesome. So, yeah, if you're in the area, you happen to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, go check out that event.
Go to D&B July, Cigars first and then go over to Renegades.
July 24th, Renegades.
Sorry.
Or go to D&B and look at Randy.
And cocktails are me. Cocktails are me. I know what I would pick.
All right, so that's going to wrap this up. So what do you think overall?
I like it. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's darn tasty.
Thank you.
I want another one.
No, thank you guys. And I appreciate you inviting me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So
it's only been 6 months in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be back on. You'll be back
we'll
on.
We'll get you back on.
So we got the Escudo coming up, too, so we can roll that in the rotation in
that's
gonna
a
couple
be a
months.
Lot of fun, man.
Yeah. That'll be good.
So where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I am at RandyRankin43 on Twitter, AJFRandy. On Instagram.
And I am Captain Funky Pants on Twitter and PDR_Brandon on Instagram.
I don't do Twitter because Twitter's for losers, but it's EPC_Trey on Instagram.
All right.
The reason why he says Twitter's for losers is because it's for celebrities.
That may have something to do with you. You guys are way too cool for me.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. It's been great smoking with you.
See you later, fellas.
See you guys.